Investors are keeping an eye on 2 p.m. That's when the Federal Reserve will drop the minutes from its July 28th policy decision, where it kept rates at near zero, but had advanced talks on a possible tapering of its asset purchase program. This is all ahead of a big Fed conference next week in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. For more on this, let's bring in RSM chief economist Joe Brusuelos, who's on the phone to give us a little bit more color on what to expect in those minutes at 2 p.m. Joe, obviously all eyes on the taper talk, whether or not we should expect maybe even as early as September some sort of Fed taper. What do you expect to see in those minutes, and what is your expectation for what to get out of the Fed next Thursday and Friday in Wyoming?
Okay, so what I expect is the minutes will reaffirm the elevated Fed talk around easing the pace of asset purchases going forward. Well, I don't expect anything significant out of Jackson Hole on this. The Fed meeting, the minutes should be sufficient to create the conditions whereby the Fed is comfortable announcing not the withdrawal of accommodation, but the slowing of pace in accommodation. And remember, tapering is not tantamount to tightening, and that's going to be an important distinction going forward.
Now, Joe, this is really interesting because I think a lot of people who see these headlines say, oh, well, the Fed might begin tapering in September. There is also a distinction between announcing and then actually beginning a taper. So we do know that there is a September FOMC meeting. They could announce something in that meeting, but then ultimately begin the actual process in October. So are you suggesting that that might be the timeline that we should expect when we do get in totality the minutes today and then also the commentary out of the Fed next week?
Yeah, I think that the expectations after Eric Rosengren, he's the Boston Federal Reserve president yesterday, I think really set the table for this, that we're going to see an announcement at the September FOMC meeting with a probable start in early October. I think really the only question is, will the Fed begin tapering operations in both the $80 billion a month Treasury operations and $40 billion a month mortgage-backed security operations, or will it really at first focus on MBS? You know, when I heard Powell speak this week, I thought, well, you know, they've got a natural bridge towards a little bit of risk management here because of the upswing in infections associated with the Delta variant, and they can have their cake and eat it too to a certain extent by reducing the pace of asset purchases on mortgage-backed securities, but keeping treasuries more or less where they're at. That way they really can have it both ways here, I think, but let's see what they say.
Joe, obviously investors looking for any kind of signals on the timing of all this, but I'm curious how quickly you think the Fed should move. When you sort of connect the dots on the most recent economic data that's come out, what do you think the timeline should be for tapering?
I'm far more comfortable with the Fed beginning its tapering operations in October. I would prefer that they address mortgage-backed securities before they begin to slow the pace of asset purchases of treasuries, simply because of the risks around the Delta variant. But the time has come. We're back above where we were in terms of pre-pandemic overall economic activity. And I think that we're going to get a spate of very strong labor market reports heading into the end of the year. And it's to the point where we all can be comfortable with a gradual and orderly paring down of asset purchases. Remember, we're still in a position where the monetary authority is very accommodative. We are not going to be anywhere near the point where the Fed's thinking about raising rates, and economic activity will accelerate here as soon as we get through this latest phase of the pandemic.
Now, Joe, obviously a lot of eyes on that Jackson Hole symposium next week, but what we do need to remind our viewers is that this is not a policy setting meeting. This is not a place or a venue where the Federal Reserve would announce any sort of major policy change. But in the absence of that, let's talk about the topic, which is macroeconomic policy in an uneven economy. And Joe, what struck me was that this is kind of an unusually, not political per se, but a big shift in what is normally an academic focused type of symposium. So maybe this is a venue where the Fed chairman Jay Powell talks about climate change or the difference of wealth inequality between Black and Hispanic Americans versus white Americans. Do you feel like there is kind of some of that political risk that could be introduced in this Jackson Hole meeting next week?
Well, not so much political risk, to be honest with you, because I think the Fed's been quite transparent about its first few steps towards considering climate risk as an appropriate policy consideration inside the composition of monetary policy. And no one would be surprised to see Jay Powell begin to talk about the African-American unemployment rate, as well as other metrics with respect to how the Fed composes its policy and implements its policy, as well as identifying targets around where the new flexible average inflation targeting regime wants to go. I think that's highly consistent with where they've been and to be expected. I just don't think that that's going to generate much political resistance. What it might do is it impose a bit of dovishness on the overall outlook at a time when traders are fixated on tapering and the Fed's got medium to long-term goals. And I think that the two aren't always aligned in view of the trading community, but my sense is the trading community will come closer to where the Fed is here in the near term.
And Joe, you mentioned the concerns around the Delta variant. Of course, we've already seen especially some of the travel names come out, the airlines coming out and saying they are starting to see a bit of, you know, cancellation, maybe passengers rethinking their plans. We've heard the hospitality sector talking about that too. But when you look at least what we've heard from these earnings calls so far, uncertainty certainly key, but it does sound like people are still going out, even with the concerns about the variant. And I wonder if you think the concerns around the Delta variant are a little overdone, that this is kind of a situation where people are sort of learning to just live with it instead of actually changing their behavior.
Okay, well, my sense is we're transitioning from what we would call a pandemic to an endemic. This isn't going to go away. I don't think the concerns about the Delta variant are overdone. You know, in the first phase of the pandemic, the public pulled back well before government move towards taking more strenuous actions. So in many cases, this is not a surprise. We are pivoting towards demand for greater services. You could even see it in the disappointing retail sales data, right? Where you saw eating and drinking increase by 1.7%. Eating and drinking establishments or demand for them increased by 1.7% on the month. However, we're just not going to have the summer with respect to travel, utilizing airlines and hotels that we wanted to see. I was on a flight Sunday afternoon from LAX to Austin, Texas. It was only about three quarters full. There was plenty of room at the inn there along the coast in Southern California. We could have stayed another week. It wasn't a problem. And the staff was somewhat surprised by they weren't fully accommodated the way that they thought they would be. So I think that we're just transitioning slowly through what I hope is the final phase of a pandemic that then turns into an endemic. Of course, today's big news is we're all going to be eligible for boosters starting in September. And I think that tells you where government policy is moving on what's going to be an endemic.
Joe Berzuelas, always good to have you on the show. RSM chief economist joining us on the phone.